please turn your attention to the screens for a clip from EuroCon.
There is such a thing.
Van olyan.
As Christianity that is a program.
Kereszténységként egy program.
But listen to me.
De figyeljetek.
I like to say this seriously.
Komolyan szeretném mondani.
That's up to you.
Ez tőled függ.
If your Christianity is a program,
hogyha a kereszténységed csak egy program,
that's your problem.
Akkor ez a te bajod.
It's not my problem.
És nem az én bajom.
I don't have a program.
Nekem nincsen programom.
I've got a person.
Nekem egy személyem.
I've got Christ.
Nekem Krisztusom van.
Well, then how did you find him?
És hogyan találtad meg őt?
I found him like you way you find him.
Úgy találtam meg, ahogy te is megtalálod.
You find him by seeking.
Azáltal, hogy kerestem,
by praying,
hogy imádkoztam,
by believing,
hogy hittem,
by receiving,
hogy elfogadtam,
by understanding his love for you.
Hogy megértettem az ő szeretetét.
You walk in the spirit.
Szellemben jártam.
You obey him. And you find him.
És így találom
meg. I do not live in a program.
Nem egy programban élek.
And when somebody tells me that,
és amikor valaki ezt mondja nekem,
I just don't care. You can say whatever you want to.
Mondj el, amit akarsz.
I go to bed with myself.
Én önmagammal együtt fekszem le.
And when I go to bed with myself,
és amikor önmagammal fekszem le,
I just say,
akkor azt mondom,
Jesus,
Jézus,
you are awesome.
Te csodálatos vagy.
You are awesome.
Csodálatos vagy.
And I can cry about it. I can cry about it.
Sírva tudok fakadni.
The life that you give us,
az az élet, amit adsz
the
nekünk,
grace that you give us,
a kegyelem, amit adsz
the
nekünk,
spirit that you give us,
a szellem, amit adsz nekünk,
your mind,
az elméd,
that you give us,
amit nekünk adsz,
the friends that you give us,
a barátok, akiket nekünk adsz,
the blessings that you give us,
az áldások, akiket
the joy that you give us,
az öröm, amit nekünk adsz,
is beyond words.
Az nem lehet szavakkal leírni.
And we don't teach people to live in programs.
Nem arra tanítjuk az embereket, hogy programokban éljenek.
I don't not we don't want to do that. It might happen. I mean, it depends on how people hear us.
Nem akarjuk ezt tenni, és lehet, hogy mégis megtörténik, attól függően, hogy hogyan hallanak minket az emberek.
But we labor to be anointed.
De azon munkálkodunk, hogy felkentek legyünk.
We labor to walk in the spirit.
Azon munkálkodunk, hogy a szellemben
járjunk.
We
labor to have authority in our ministry.
Azon munkálkodunk, hogy tekintélye legyen a szolgálatunk.
We labor
hatalmat.
To help people find Christ.
És azon munkálkodunk, hogy segítsünk az embereknek Krisztust
megtalálni. When I lived here, by the way, when I was living here, I wasn't preaching about Greater Grace World Outreach or Bible Speaks.
És amikor itt éltem, akkor nem a Greater Grace szolgálatról prédikáltam, vagy a Biblia szóról.
I'm not preaching about that.
Nem erről prédikálok.
I'm preaching about Christ.
Krisztusról prédikálok.
You might say, well, I don't understand. Well, bear with me.
És lehet, hogy azt mondod, hogy hát ezt most nem értem, de figyelj.
I'm trying to say something.
Szeretnék mondani valamit.
This is his word.
Ez az ő ígéje.
It is powerful.
És ez hatalmas.
It changes our hearts.
És ez megváltoztatja a szívünket.
It fills us and satisfies us.
Betölt minket és megelégít.
When he says go over there, then I want to go over there.
És amikor azt mondja, hogy menj oda, akkor oda akarok menni.
When I come over here and I find Jesus.
És amikor oda megyek és megtalálom Jézust.
That's not a program.
Akkor ez nem egy program.
That's God.
Hanem az Isten.
That's God's grace.
Az Isten kegyelme.
When he says go love your wife.
Amikor azt mondja, hogy szeresd a feleségedet.
And I do that.
És megteszem.
And I find God.
És megtalálom
and joy,
Istent és az örömet.
And peace.
Békességet.
That's not a program.
Ez nem egy program.
That's the grace of God.
Hanem az Isten kegyelme.
That's the presence of God.
Az Isten jelenléte.
That's the mind of God. When we go on the mission field,
amikor elmész a missziós mezőre,
and I go on the mission field and I find God,
elmegyek a missziós mezőre, és megtalálom
that's
Isten.
The grace of God.
Ez Isten kegyelme.
That's the person of God.
Ez Isten személye.
That's the plan of God.
Ez Isten
it's
terve.
Not a program.
És ez nem egy program.
So, be careful with that.
Úgyhogy legyetek óvatosak ezzel.
Because this is sacred.
Mert ez szent.
Be careful.
Legyetek óvatosak vele.
Because Jesus is here.
Mert Jézus van itt.
And he wants to speak to our hearts.
És szólni akar a szívünkhöz.
And we are ambassadors.
És követei vagyunk.
We are people from heaven.
Mennyből érkezett emberek.
In one sense.
Bizonyos értelemben.
And that's all that I want to say, I think.
És ennyit akartam mondani.
Verse 21 says,
21. vers azt
mondja, He has made us to be sin for us.
Mert azt, aki bűnt nem ismert, bűnné tette értünk.
He has made him
őt,
God
Isten
to be sin for us.
Isten bűnné tette értünk.
So that we could be made the righteousness of God in him.
Hogy mi Isten igazsága legyünk ő benne.
He did that.
Ezt tette.
For us.
Értünk.
That we could be righteous.
Hogy igazak lehessünk.
Righteous.
Igazak.
God's gift.
Ez Isten ajándéka.
We're righteous.
Igazak vagyunk.
We're going to go to heaven.
S a mennybe fogunk menni.
With the angels.
S az angyalok.
In heaven.
A mennyben.
Because we're righteous.
Az angyalokkal ott leszünk a mennyben, mivel igazak vagyunk.
We're righteous.
Igazak.
By God's grace.
Isten kegyelméből.
And love for us.
És az irántunk való szeretetéből.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Thanks for your all the pastors. Thank you.
Köszönöm pásztorokat.
Thanks for your faith, all the pastors' wives.
És köszönöm a pásztorok feleségeinek.
Thanks for your joy.
Köszönöm az örömöteket.
Your Sunday school.
A vasárnapi iskolát.
Your team ministry.
10 éves szolgálatot.
Thanks for your ministry.
Köszönöm a szolgálatot.
We are ambassadors.
Követek vagyunk.
Of God.
Isten követei.
In this world.
Ebben a világban.
And we have changed.
És megváltoztunk.
Yeah. Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Would you pray with me, please?
Imádkozzatok velem, kérlek.
Well, wasn't that good? I almost don't know if we need any more, do we? I mean, for a little while, I was stuck in the first song about the blood applied. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that a great thought? And then the offering song, thinking about the resurrection life. How many of you guys need to get out of your program and get some resurrection life? Yeah, especially on a Wednesday night, you know. But it is amazing. And we're going to kind of continue, actually, in the same idea. And the thought, really, that I want to portray to you guys is the mighty hand of God. And really just thinking about how awesome God is. And I can imagine myself, you know, being, you know, a follower of God while being a slave in Egypt, could you? I mean, here are the Jews. They have been in captivity for, 400 years, right? There was a point where being Jewish meant something because you were a descendant of Joseph. And then there rose up a king who didn't remember Joseph, right? And the tables turned. And all of a sudden, to be Jewish meant something very different. And instead of having, you know, privilege, you became a slave and you worked for another kingdom. And I asked this question, you know, because sometimes I feel like maybe that's me in my life. Like, God, are you there? God, are you? Hello? Like, it wasn't terribly long ago that Joseph was here and we were something. It wasn't so long ago that, you know, we were reading stories about, you know, Abraham. It wasn't so long ago. God, are you there? Are you alive? And then would there be silence? And I think a lot of us are kind of living in our own way in this kind of style of life because we're asking God to reveal himself. And what we're waiting for is we're waiting for those, you know, big events. And we're going to talk about some of those big events here in a little while. But aren't we like looking for those big things to happen? Like we talk about revival and we say this like with hope, not hope that God is going to do it, but hope that it might happen, but it probably won't. So we could be disappointed by God. You know, we hope or we pray that maybe we could be used by God and do something amazing. That maybe this kind of a revival or my church building could be filled. We could have a prayer meeting all night. that people could get healed. You know, we're looking for these big events, and we're saying, God, where are you? God, where are you? But I'd like to get your brain thinking that God is there, yes, but God is here also. God is here. And I remember the passage, it's in Exodus, you know, in the first few chapters, where it says, you know, God is speaking to Moses, and he says, I have heard the cry of my people. And I remember doing a dive on that passage, and it really meant that God was amongst his people in Egypt, and he was hearing their personal grievances towards him. And he says, I have heard the cries of my people. Moses, go set them free. And I can imagine that God is hearing the cries of his people year after year after year and is not forgotten. Because God is bigger than those events, but he's also right here in these little things. So if you could turn with me to Psalm chapter 78, it'll be a few minutes only, I hope. A few minutes, just not long enough to make you not fall asleep, you know. Psalm 78, verses 4 through 8. It says, We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for what we've received from you so far. And maybe some of us are just now waking up in this service. And we are ready to hear something from you. We're ready to be changed. We're ready to be, you know, taken out of that program and begin to live in resurrected life, live in the mighty hand of God, live in the awesomeness of your presence, and declare your praises. We pray for people tonight that might be in bondage to different sins, and those sins keep them from praising the Lord. We pray tonight for people who are in bondage to different emotions that are keeping them from praising the Lord and seeing his goodness. We pray that you will settle our hearts in your word. And when we fall astray, Lord, that we could be settled in your hands. We just thank you. We pray for this message in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading this passage the past couple days and just really thinking about what the writer is saying, Asaph, what he is saying to, you know, all of us. And I really love what he says, that we are to praise the Lord. And, you know, really quick, how often do you praise the Lord in a day? You know, versus taking his name in vain, cussing the Lord's name, you know? It's a good thought, because we really should be praising the Lord often in our life, because there are so many reasons to praise him. And again, we might be looking for those big events in our life and God to be doing something amazing. And we could pray for God to do something, and then we're waiting to see if he will do it. And if he does, we will praise him. And if he does not, we question our faith. We are so fickle as humans. But the psalmist here is giving us three different reasons to praise the Lord. And they are not, the first reason is amazing, because the first reason isn't because of something that God has done, but it's very simply because it is something that God has said. In the previous verses, 1 through 3, you're seeing that there is a testimony or a statute that Israel is being commanded, and that we are to praise God for that statute. And it also says it in verse 5, For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, that there is a word from God that God gave to Israel, and is that is like one of the reasons why they are being declared that you, or commanded actually, this is interesting, like they are being told to praise the Lord. Why? Because of the word that God has given us. Isn't that amazing? Are we appreciative of the word of God that he has given us? Like, we have a Bible. How many Bibles do you have in your house? Yeah, oh, 8. You're so spiritual. Yeah. I got my work truck, you know, one of my work truck that sits in the back window, never opens, gets a little crispy brown. I got one on my bookshelf that gets dusty. And then there's one that I use, right? We have the Word of God. But more than that, we can turn on the TV and what can we hear? We can hear the Word of God. We can sit here tonight in Baltimore and listen to what our pastor is saying in Budapest and be stirred in our spirits. Why? Because we can hear the Word of God. We can hear the Word of God through music on our phones. We hear it through podcasts. We hear it through devotionals. We open up books, book after book after book. I mean, you could be sitting here and believe in some strange doctrine that you think comes from the Bible, and you're going to find a book on it. It's amazing, the United States. But we are to praise the Lord for the word that he has given us. Now, it is amazing because in this passage, he says that it is the law that he has given, right? In verse 5, he says, appointed a law in Israel. That word is the word for Torah, and some people understand it to mean like that the law that Moses gave was given to Israel, and we are to teach. Like, this is kind of one way what it's saying here, is that we are to teach our children the law. So that way, when we are dead, they will learn how to be obedient to God, and then they will teach their children, and they will teach their children. But the word Torah doesn't only mean the first 5 books of the Old Testament. It doesn't only mean the 600 laws that are written in Leviticus. It doesn't only mean the 10 commandments that Moses wrote. But this word law, Torah, it also means statute. Meaning that there is a standard, there is a condition that God would have me to live inside of my soul. Do you ever think of the word law meaning that? That there is a standard, or that there is a condition how God wants me to be living, like in my soul. Like when you're driving down Route 40 and you pass somebody that's homeless, what does your heart to do? Does it ache a little bit? You know, we have some, you know, beautiful people that come to our services in Frederick. And I remember having a conversation with them like this. I'm saying, God hasn't designed you to live this way. And it's true, right? It's because there is a condition, there is a standard. There is something that when God looks at you, he imagines your soul being this way. And that's what we call positional truth. When we talk about positional truth in the New Testament, what is that? That is the idea that when God looks at me, this is how he sees my soul. I am a child of God. Am I? Yes, I am. Am I acting like it? No, I'm not. There is sin in my life. There is hatred in my life. I don't read my Bible. I'm inconsistent in coming to church. And I do not praise the Lord for his word. But yet the Bible says that I am a child of God because I have accepted him as my Savior. And though I am imperfect, I am seen through the blood of Christ. Isn't that amazing? That is the condition that God has for my soul. So there is a condition, there is a way that God has appointed for Israel. And as we read the Bible, what do we see? We see in the end what that will be for Israel. And we are happy to be a part of that now in the church age. And we ourselves will have a place in the kingdom of God. We ourselves have a place here in this church. I love, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 11, thinking about the body of Christ And we did a message, I believe it's 12:25, 1 Corinthians, talking about those that seem weak, they are necessary in the body of Christ. You know, when I look and I say, well, there is a law or there is a standard, there is a condition that God would have my soul, but I say, well, but I am weak. What place do I have in the church? Well, I can say it this way, that you are necessary here. Why? Because when God looks at you, he sees something very different. But we are praising him for his word. His word comes to us in many different ways. The second thing we see here is in verse 4. The next two things we see are in verse 4. Number 2, we see his strength. And number 3, we see his wonderful work. So we have his word. We have his strength. And I love this idea of strength. It means his forcibleness. Like, you know, there's that door that won't open, and he just comes in and opens it. Any of you guys, like, have, you know, trouble opening a pickle jar? And you just got to ask somebody, hey, could you help me out here? And they just, you know, open it up. It's like, how'd you do that? Like, I prepped it for you. That's how you did it. You know, God's forcibleness. Like, there are things that God does in our life that we can never imagine. And his wonderful work means that it is something that is beyond our power, and it is completely marvelous. That God is doing something forcibly in our life. I want to be careful with that, but he is doing something that there is strength there is power, and that he has a wonderful work, that there is something marvelous. You know, another word would be miraculous that is happening. And these are reasons why we should be praising God. On a Thursday night a few weeks ago, we asked the church, we said, hey, what is God doing in your life? And there was crickets, you know. Because I think everybody's looking for the parting of the Red Sea kind of event in their life. And then a few days later, I got a text from a lady in the church. And she texts me and says, you know how you asked me that question? Well, just today, God did something amazing in my life. And she said that my son has started reading his Bible. And said, I need to focus on my relationship with God. I say, that's a miracle. That is a reason to praise God. Like, I am looking and I say, is there a reason to praise God tonight? And I can ask myself, in my life, is there a reason for me to praise God? And if the answer is no, then I am too deep in the muck and mire of my own life. Because life is real. Life is sick. Life is painful. And we're going to look at stories, you know, here in a few minutes. Like, think about Abraham and the covenant that God made with him. Think about Joseph saving his family and leading as second to king in Egypt. Think of Moses leading so many people out of Egypt. What do we see in each one of these stories? But we see the word of God. We see the strength of God. And we see the miracle working power of God. And here in Psalm 78, Asaph is asking the people of Israel to remember these things. Very specifically, remember what Moses did. Remember these things and tell the story, because every single time that you get stuck in that mire, you have a reason to praise God. What do we see with Abraham? What was God's word? But it was a promise from him, a covenant. We see his strength by protecting and leading him as he traveled, right? Even though he made mistakes. Did he make mistakes? Yeah, this is my, you know, sister, right? Hey, let's go here instead of there. Let's do this. I mean, Abraham was a terrible leader. You know, imagine wandering through the desert with this guy. You know, you might be next on his list. Like, yeah, he's not really my friend, you know. If he did that to his wife, what would he do to me? Yeah, terrible. He sinned. There was trouble. But God gave him strength and protected him as he was wandering through the journey. And then what was the miracle in his life? But the promised child. Amazing, huh? Abraham, is there a reason to praise God? He says, yep. Yep. I remember when God made a promise with me and I fell asleep. I remember when I was walking in the desert and I made one wrong choice and another wrong choice. I remember the 14 silent years where God didn't speak to me or I didn't hear him. And I remember the day my son was born. There's a reason to praise God. We could say the same with Joseph, that God spoke to him in word by a dream, that God strengthened him in delivering him over and over again in slavery and in prison, in his wonderful work by interpreting a dream. But I want to think about Moses here for a few minutes. Moses, if we think about the word that he was given, right? Praise him for his word. You know, what was the word that he was given? We always think about Mount Sinai and the law. The Ten Commandments. That's what we always think about, isn't it? But that's not the word that he was given. Because us praising God for his word always comes first. So where did God meet him in word? The burning bush. Gone for 40 years. How's that for some trouble in life? Yet God meets him in a burning bush and speaks to him in his word, in a word. Isn't that amazing? God shows his power by delivering Israel out of Egypt. All of Moses' five excuses, yet what happens? He's used by God. Actually, it's interesting that God says, you will be as God to Pharaoh. How's that? You're going to be as God to Pharaoh. And we understand, like, he's not, Moses is not God. But in the eyes of Pharaoh, could you imagine this shepherd who's stuttering, coming to me and saying, let my people go and worship in the desert. And like, I am Pharaoh. I am in charge here. Who do you think you are? No. And, you know, I don't know what kind of person Moses was, but if it was me, I'd have a smug little laugh, you know, like, all right, we'll see you in a few days. You know, after you had some more trouble, we'll see what you say. You know, that was his power, his forcible power. And his wonderful miracle working power to keep Israel for 40 years in the desert. We could ask Moses, is there a reason to praise God? There is. If you read Exodus chapter 15, verse I forget. It's in 21 and also maybe 16, where Moses sings a song after the chariots are crushed in the Red Sea. He says, praise the Lord for his glorious. He triumphed gloriously, right? That's what it says. He triumphed gloriously. And he is praising God. Why? Because of his word, because of his strength, because of his miraculous power. And here we are, and the psalmist is saying in Psalm 78, he says that these things that are happening in our life, we are not to hide them. You know, this is the interesting thing about this word, hide, in the Hebrew. It means to destroy the value that they have. You know, it's very possible for you to take something that will last for all eternity. The Word of God is going to last for all eternity. It is very possible for you to take this and destroy it and make it of no value in your life because you are hiding it. It is very possible that you could destroy the effect of God's strength. It is very possible that you could destroy the effect of God's miraculous, wonderful working hand. You can do that by very simply hiding it. The psalmist says, don't do that. Don't do it. But instead, what I want you to do is I want you to tell all generations. I want you to speak of it. Speak of it to yourselves at night. Speak of it at the dinner table. I mean, it says this in Deuteronomy, right? This is a commandment of God to Israel on how to handle the word of God, how to handle the strength of God, how to handle the power of God, that we are to talk about it. And I love it. If we talk about it, what happens is that we begin to reiterate it over and over and over again in our life. And this is so important because what can be more real than the power of God, what can be more real than the strength of God, what can be more real than the power of God is the devil. It can be the world system. It could be my flesh. It could be all the bad things my wife does. You know, it could be all the bad things my children do. It could be, you know, and we could start pointing our fingers and we could start saying, like, why should I praise the Lord? Look at these problems. And what are we doing? We are recycling earthly things. We are recycling them. But the psalmist is saying, speak of them. And the Hebrew word means to reiterate or to rehearse. And if I rehearse what God is doing in my life, what do I do? But I begin to build new connections in my soul, which strengthens my faith. I begin to build connections in my soul, which increases my faith. Again, we could go to those three examples and we could say, were there times in your life where you were without faith? The answer would be yes. What did you do? Abraham could say, well, I asked God, are you going to do this or not? You promised. I mean, over and over again that they would rehearse the promise of God. They would rehearse it in their life. They would reiterate it, and it would encourage them. It would rejuvenate their soul. It would quicken their walk with God. You know, some of us are so dead in our walk with God because the Bible isn't in it. Sometimes our families have so many problems because the Bible isn't in it. Like, we need to rehearse these things with our families. And is it awkward? Yes. You know, I'm from New England. I'm from Maine. We don't talk in Maine. We sit in rocking chairs and we grunt at each other, okay? You know, when we're there visiting one time, I remember watching an entire conversation with two men. They were sitting on the back bed of their truck in their camo, and they were eating like a meatball sub, and they were grunting. Just the whole, for 20 minutes, they were grunting back and forth. You know, I understand how awkward it can be to speak of God's strength, to speak of His Word, to initiate the promises of God. I understand that it can be awkward, but the psalmist is saying that you can't hide it. Don't hide it, because if you do, it is so dangerous. It is so dangerous. We got to reiterate it. We need to reinforce it, and all of a sudden, it'll build like a new natural way for me to function with God. Like, for some of you guys, your natural function with God is faith. Why? You learn that through rehearsing it over and over and over again, making mistakes and then rehearsing it again. You learned it through talking about it with your children at the table. You know, some of you guys here, some of you younger people here, you know, me, myself included, I am here because at the dinner table, my parents rehearsed the Word of God. I am standing here today because my parents dragged me to Saturday outreach and go door knocking. I am here today because my parents dragged me on bus ministry Sunday mornings. You know, I am standing here today because there was no hiding it from this generation. There was no hiding it from myself. There was no hiding it from my wife. But there was a clear communication of the praises of God. Now listen to this, I'm running out of time. You guys awake? Usually by now, you know, we're falling asleep in Frederick, you know. You know. So I got coffee, you don't. You want some? But let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because there's a warning here, and I hate to end this way, but you know, it's good preachers always give a warning. Good preachers always give a warning. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Or maybe bad preachers do, I don't know. I'll let you decide. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, and then verse 17. Deuteronomy 8:11 says, beware that you do not forget, or we could say, do not hide the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and his statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Stop there. Isn't that our life? I mean, our lives, I mean, are multiplied. We have so much. Do we forget? Have we hidden? And if we have, verse 17 is what happens. It says, then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hands have gained me this wealth. The psalmist is saying, praise God for his word. Praise God for his strength. Praise God for his miracles. But here I am. I am fat. I am wealthy. I am driving my car. And I can say, forget about God's mighty hand. Forget about God's word. Forget about God's miraculous strength. Look at what I did. Look at the things that I have done in my life. One more passage. I was reading this. This is amazing. James chapter 5. This kind of goes with Deuteronomy 8. James 5 verse 2 and 3, I believe. It says, your riches are corrupted. This is like a warning to judgment coming to the rich. It says, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver are corroded, and their corrosions will be a witness against you, and you will eat against you, and will eat your flesh like fire. Now listen to this. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Are we in the last days, guys? Yes, we are. I believe it. We've been saying that for 2,000 years, but I do believe it. I won't be saying it in 2,000 more years. But I believe it's here. And the thing that I have to ask myself is, am I in these last days, am I so concerned about my son's soccer game? Am I so concerned about the car that I am driving? Am I so concerned about the garden and what I'm going to plant in it this year? Am I concerned about how long the grass is? I admire Pastor Belly leaving his old, Jeep Cherokee on the side of the road and not caring about it. I don't think he's ever mowed the lawn in his life because he doesn't care. You can say, well, that is inconsiderate. He should be more thoughtful and he should take care of these things. But he is a man. And I just like to think, I was thinking this morning of our pastors in our church here. They are men of God. And what have they done? They have praised the Lord for his word. They have praised him for his strength. They have praised him for his miracles. And they refuse to hide it. They refuse to hide it. I hear the stories of the old days from my father and the pastor sitting here, and I glory in them. So that is amazing. That is amazing. That happened, and it might happen to me, but it might not. But either way, I am learning to praise him and not hide them, because it might not be my generation or the generation after me or the generation after me, but there will be a generation, the Jews could say, in Egypt as they make bricks out of mud. There will be a generation where they see the mighty hand of God. And I want them to see it through me praising him, telling, reiterating it over and over again, so that way when the moment happens, they don't forget about it. Like, oh, my father told me about this. I am so ready for this, Lord. Let's go. Let's go. So just in closing, Exodus chapter 15, let that be the same word that we sing in our own hearts. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Stop rehearsing the negativity. Stop rehearsing the flesh. Stop rehearsing the world system. And learn to rehearse what God has done in your life. And if you feel he hasn't done anything, rehearse what he has done through scriptures. Rehearse that and watch him do something amazing in your life. Amen? All right, we're going to close with a prayer. So Heavenly Father, we just want, with all our eyes closed and heads bowed, we don't want to take advantage of this opportunity. Maybe there's somebody here, they find that there has been no reason to praise in their life. There are so many problems. And the first reason that we could praise the Lord is by the fact that he died on a cross and paid for our sins. And because of that event, if I repent and come before the Lord, I can freely enter into the gates of heaven. There is no amount of doing or purifying that I could ever accomplish to earn my way to heaven. It can only be done through the gift of Jesus Christ and the blood that was applied. So if there's anybody here, you are not a Christian, and maybe you'd like to be saved, you'd like to become a Christian, you'd like to become a child of God, you'd like a reason to praise him, say this simple prayer in your heart. It's not the prayer that saves you, but it is the intent of your heart. Say, "Dear Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I repent of my sins, and I know that without you, I'd be in so much trouble. And I accept you as my Lord, as my God, as my King." If you said that prayer for the first time, you've never said that before, there's ushers that are standing by. If you could raise your hands, they have a gift for you. And those of us here that have been believers for, 40, 50 years, and we are in a great church, but maybe we're still stuck in a program, we ask that you would give us resurrection life, that we would hear your word, we would see your strength, and we would see your miraculous power. Give us a reason again to praise. We just thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.